You're listening to Trek FM.
Want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners' discussion group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. Hello and welcome back to TFM's local watering hole, and this time we are coming at you from the great continent of Africa. We're so excited to be here as we're diving into the next episode of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. And with me, as he is for this entire journey through the world of Indiana Jones, is none other than Yancey Evans, Master Hunter. Yancey, how are you doing, man?
I got my rifle and my fedora, and I'm ready to head out to British East Africa, find out what's going on.
Sounds great. So we are back, as you said, Yancey, in British East Africa. This episode is called British East Africa, September 1909. The very inventive naming convention for the show, the places that we're going to visit. But before we dive into the episode, of course, you know, find us wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're subscribed. You'll get all of the 602 Club episodes. Of course, the Indie Files. You also can hit us up on social media. One X Twitter. We've got Instagram, we're on Facebook, we got the website at trek.fm, and of course you can go over to Patreon at patreon.com/trekfm and support the network. But so, Yancey, this is going to be, I think, a really interesting question, because the opening of this episode with the old Indy and the bookend with him, I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this one.
So, as our story opens, Andy's in a restaurant at some event, and he's sitting between us what essentially amounts to two Karens having an argument over the one woman wears furs and is eating veal, and the other woman is haranguing her for all of these life choices. And Andy decides he wants to tell this little interesting story about balance with nature and balance with life. And I think the point you're getting at is at the end, everybody at the table just kind of was like, what was that all about? Because Indy walks off after he tells the story. And I think there's actually a point to that. I think the point is that these people are in their own little world, and they're so insulated from the goings on of the larger world around them that they couldn't even get the simple message of, you know, finding a balance between nature and our needs and conservation and that kind of thing. So that was my thought on it. You know, a bit, you can view it as just the humorous man screaming at clouds and, you know, everybody just disregards him kind of thing. So, but that was my take on it.
Yeah, I do think this one is, I mean, so far, it's probably the weakest setup. And I do think that a part of that kind of comes down to, I don't think just the overall connection of the story as the way it's told and the way the episode ends in the sense of the story being told that Indy's telling them and this bookend front and back really does a great job of connecting the way I think you would want it to land, because what you said makes complete sense. And I kind of get that from the episode, but I'm also, you know, this episode is these seasons of this show are for kids, right? And so being a little bit more overt instead of so, I mean, what you said is incredibly subtle. Like, you know, there might be adults that miss that, right? If you're barely paying attention to the episode. And so therefore, I do think that's one of the reasons I kind of struggled with this episode in general a little bit, is because it didn't feel like the ending, with the ending in East Africa plus the bookend, did a great job of kind of wrapping up the entire theme of, you know, the episode. And And even just the major question that Indy himself is dealing with, which is, you know, his own coming of age, figuring out what he believes about life and conservation and all of these type of things. And so I think that's probably one of the places with the episode in general where I struggled a little bit, because I just felt like it didn't quite feel as strong as it could have been, to make things feel just a little bit more punctuated at the end of the episode.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing you gotta realize, and I think we touched on it at the beginning with the very first episode, that the episodes with the younger version of Indy are more kind of like the ground floor entry questions of morality, questions right. of the larger world around you. And I think I actually think a kid would probably get what the kind of bookend actually represented, because you had the really actually it's actually really powerful. And he goes, just to let everyone know,
yeah.
and he goes through all this effort to find this very rare version of essentially an antelope, and they find them, and right. they start shooting them to send them, because this all goes back to Teddy Roosevelt, who's the primary historical figure in this episode. Mm-hmm. And it touches on his creating the park system in the United States and his desires to conserve nature, yet at the same time make nature available to everyone. Now, back then, since we didn't have so many large zoos, the way that was done was by shooting animals, right. stuffing them and yeah. putting them in a museum, all for the point of knowledge and learning about these creatures. Unfortunately, the side effect of that is that you can overdo it, and in many cases that was done,
mm-hmm.
and many species went extinct. So I think Indy's final scene with him telling him, you know, that you've done enough, you've shot enough, you know, that's kind of the point, is that there's a balance. That's one of the things. There's a really wonderful little scene with Indy when he's explaining how he found the creature, you know, how he found the onyx and its system of eating these melons that are buried in right. the ground. But then yeah. when these basically ground squirrels had to move because of a fire,
mm-hmm.
then they started eating the melons, and it all right. created this effect on their ecosystem. Yes. And I think that kind of stuff was really well presented. I think the bookend, you know, at times the bookends can be a little clunky. At times they fit real well with what's going on in the mm-hmm. in the episode. I think this was just kind of like almost like Lucas's statement about where we are in society, you know, that we just are so enamored either with things, you know, our furs, our, you know, whatever it is, VCRs, you know, that kind of thing back then. And then on the other end, we have people who are advocating so strongly for these positions, yet they don't really stop and smell the roses, and they're not actually doing anything other than hectoring people, you know, about this thing. So they never kind of come to a balance. So, you know, but I can understand why, you know, there's some misgivings with mm-hmm. the bookends on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole storyline and the idea of Indy coming to his own thoughts on, you know, what it means to be a conservationist, you know, what it means to take care of nature, live in balance with it, you know, I think is really good, you know, because he's not necessarily against, you know, the way in which, you know, Roosevelt is kind of going about this. What he's against is, you know, doing too much of it. Like you said, you know, that this really can get out of hand. And I think that's the thing, right, is learning to live in balance with nature. And that's what I think you know, really this comes down to is the idea of what does it mean to steward the planet we live on, right? Does it mean we eat no meat? You know, does it mean that we have no animal products? You know, or does it mean that we are judicious and thoughtful and careful about what we do and how we do it and why we do it? And I think that's the point, you know, that absolutely, you know, Indiana is trying to get across, because the beauty of the episode is the way I think that it kind of portrays, you know, Theodore Roosevelt, who's this, you know, over the top, larger than life. You know, he's clearly a man who has some great ideas, but it's not afraid to also present him as a man who is still incredibly flawed and, you know, isn't right all the time. And I think that's the right. Kind of the beauty of, you know, as we've talked through this series so far, is as it's presenting these historical figures, we're showing them lumps and all. And that's a really beautiful thing to be able to do for, you know, young people as they're coming into their own. You know, that's one of the biggest things that any child has to learn, right? That moment when you realize, oh, my parents aren't always right. You know, adults aren't always right. You know, and so then having to then search for how do we figure out what is right and wrong, and what are we going to base that on, is a really important question, which, you know, is one of the key questions that you get Indy having to deal with here, is what's the right thing to do for us who want to understand nature and help other people do that, but also what's right for just the people who live here, as well as the animals themselves, and the way in which, you know, if you take away too many animals from a place, you completely change the ecosystem, and not for the better. I mean, you know, we have a wonderful example of that happening here in the U.S., where, you know, wolves were almost extinct in certain parts of the country where they were very important to the ecosystem, and, you know, they had to be reintroduced. And it wasn't something that a lot of people loved, you know, because we had gotten used to living without them. But it was important then for the reintroduction of the ecosystem, you know. And part of that is that we have this really bad, I think, habit of thinking we know best before truly studying a thing and then doing it as human beings. And you know, this is, I think, one of the things that Teddy Roosevelt kind of represents here in this episode. The idea he has is not bad, but the execution of that is what can either make it, you know, good or bad.
Right. One of the things I really love in particular about this episode is the way, and it's reflected through Henry, actually, through the father. In the beginning of the episode, Henry is clearly just starstruck with Theodore Roosevelt. And through most of the episode, he's starstruck with Theodore Roosevelt. You know, he's anxious about, you know, have you read my book? You know, that kind of thing. You know, his praise over, you know, the book he wrote on heraldry and some other things. And even midway through the episode, when Indy runs off and gets lost and they have to do a search party, Henry seems more upset that his son not only ashamed of the family, but kind of disappointed Roosevelt. But what I love is how when he realizes that Indy's kind of found his own voice, and that scene at the dinner table where Indy's explaining all of this, how he found this creature. And then at the end, the look he gives him, he's filled with so much pride when Indy confronts Roosevelt and tells him to stop shooting the animals. You know, that he's done enough. And that's the thing I love about this episode. There's a lot of subtlety going on in the story that's beyond just, you know, here we're on a hunting safari with Theodore Roosevelt. You know, there's lots of little nuggets. You get to kind of see how Indy it kind of foreshadows Andy's going to have all these friends around the world. from all these different cultures because he has this easy way about him, speaking and introducing himself to people and speaking with them and learning their languages and learning their customs and that kind of thing. And those are the kind of things I really enjoyed about this episode.
Yeah, I love the point that you made just about the Star Trek nature of so many people towards Teddy Roosevelt here in this episode. And I think that there's something really important just about what the episode is saying about fandom and the danger it can lead to us when we don't rightly think about what people who are famous do. And we don't think critically about it, right? We just accept it as, well, I mean, they're famous, you know, so they must know what they're doing kind of thing. And I think, you know, that right. type of herd mentality and that lemming in nature of fandom, right, is something that really comes to play here because, like you said, a lot of people in the episode, you know, Indy's teacher included, his father, all these people around him are just enamored of Teddy Roosevelt, and nobody's going to question him. And yet, the only person to question him is a little boy who has actually spent the time to get to know the people who live in this country, to get to understand the animals themselves in their habitat and why they're doing all these things. It's not just about looking at pretty things. It's about actually having the true understanding of something, which is, you know, one of the reasons why, in all honesty, personally, I've never been a fan of zoos. I don't think they're all that helpful because you're not really learning anything about something sitting in a concrete cage, you know? And especially these days when you might as well just watch Animal Planet and, you know, Planet Earth and all these things and actually get to experience it. Now, of course, then they didn't have any of that. But it's one of those things to which I always kind of wonder, is it really important for us to have that type of thing anymore when we do have many other resources, you know, to be able to, and yet it doesn't seem like we've actually really thought about that process that we have continued to be a part of, like zoos and those type of things. And so, you know, I think those are really great questions. And again, if the importance is like what Roosevelt said, which is not only to help people want to conserve nature, but also to understand it, well, I mean, you know, you're not really going to understand nature by just looking at it in a museum, per se, or, you know, seeing it in a zoo. Now, can that spur people to want to know more, you know, like in Starship Troopers? Would you like to know more? But it really is very interesting because there are a lot of good questions that get kind of raised through the episode. And almost, I think, when we were talking about just the way that the bookends connected, that's where I just would have loved to have seen just a little bit more connection between the two to basically leave you with that type of question in your brain after the episode ends. Again, it doesn't have to be, you know, hit you over the head kind of thing, but it would have been nice to just have a little bit more of a nudge in that.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, the funny thing is throughout the episode, there are these kind of, like you're talking about, nudges. Because I hadn't seen the episode in a while, and watching it, I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of shocking. There's a scene where they're just kind of talking, and Indy's all, you know, enamored with Roosevelt. And then he's got to take a picture. And then he goes and sits on this throne, essentially, made of elephant tusks. And there's all these animal, you know, stuffed animals and heads and skulls. And it's just like, you're sitting there, the juxtaposition of how we went from there one minute and then the other. And it's like, wow, okay, we've gone maybe a little too far here. and I think that's the point. You know, it's interesting because, you know, how we interact with the world around us and interact with each other is one of the key points that Lucas is driving home in episode one.
Yeah. You know,
in
Star Wars episode one. Yes.
So it's obviously something that that George has an affinity for in that story. The thing I love so much about this episode is there's a lot of connective tissue with Indy. I love seeing, kind of the stern version of Henry, but at the same time, you can see that Indy's actually a lot like his dad, you know, because there's that whole playful side of him, you know, when he's about he's going to dump a bucket of water on his wife. And there's moments like that. I don't know if you saw it because it was on the broadcast version. When the friend who sets up this whole meeting, you know, with Roosevelt, they greet each other, and the first time they greet each other, it's the bit from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade where Henry and Denham Elliott,
Marcus,
yeah, when they greet each other with the little college, their little college motto thing, he does that with his friend. So there's a lot of little bits about this that I really like that he's laying the groundwork. And then of course, Indy's relationship with Meadow, the little boy he meets, the tribal boy he meets, it's just that to me is the kind of the beauty of this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that the cool thing about that, and this is something that, you know, if you're not thinking about it diligently, I think the thought process of how in the world could Indy be, you know, talking to this kid, I think one of the things that they do really well is that it's much easier for a child to learn a new language much more quickly because of just the way, you know, that their brains work, right? And so having Indiana be able to do this, I think is great. And I love that, you know, like you said, it is something that we're going to see throughout the Indiana Jones series, you know, as we watch the movies. He's either able to speak the language or understand the language, you know, and because he kind of has a gift for it, it seems. And it's something to which you can kind of understand, too, just from the way in which he's being raised, the education he's receiving, and, you know, like Tolkien, right, who was a person who created his own languages because he had such a great understanding of them. Obviously, that was a lot of study, but he clearly has a gift for it as well. And so Indy is one of those people, it seems like. Definitely has the gift for picking up languages and being able to understand them. And I think that's a fun part of this episode as well. And I liked what you said too, just it's fun to be able to watch this series because, you know, obviously when we see him and his father in The Last Crusade, you know, there is a real sense of distance, obviously, in their relationship because the loss of their, you know, right, wife and then mother, and that creates you know, a separation between father and son, because they seem to have lost in many ways their mediary, you know, for relationship and the way that it impacted them. And so, and yet, like you said, the fun thing to seeing here, Indy has a lot of his dad in him, you know, the joy of life, the joy of, you know, kind of a relationship, that type of thing. The silliness, the fun, obviously we see that throughout the films. And so I did really enjoy getting to see that in this episode as well. And so, was there anything else that kind of stood out to you in this episode or that has stayed with you, especially since you've seen these episodes before?
I think for me, it's just that, again, it goes down to the quality of the direction and the quality of the actors. James Gammon, who plays Theodore Roosevelt, is a wonderful character actor from the 80s and 90s. Most people will probably famously remember him as the manager on the Major League movies. But he has this, there was kind of this group of actors who came out in about the 70s who were very naturalistic in their acting. They just don't act like they're acting. They act like, you know, you grab somebody off the street and you put them on screen. It's almost like the extras in Jaws, you know, like the woman on the city council who's not an actress, but it's just like she's doing great in the scene and she's not really acting. She's just being herself. And I loved his performance. I love the fact that we get Belloc back on the screen, even though he's not Belloc. You know, Paul Freeman has a wonderful little bit in this movie as a hunter. Again, it's just the quality of the acting and the quality of the direction. It's just well done.
Yeah, I think that it is pretty cool that a lot of this episode it does really just flow very well. And I think one of the standout things about all of the episodes so far, and it's obviously the thing that, you know, Lucas was very keen on, and that's that we're going to go film in these actual places, right? We're going to go film in Africa. We're going to go film, you know, in Egypt. We're going to go film around the world so that you're actually there. It's the reason, you know, the same thing. And I'm guessing too, that Lucas had to be inspired by this idea is right. That's what James Bond does, right? You go film in the real location because it's all about being there. You know, it's about the sense of excitement and wonder and adventure that you get from actually being in this exotic location that, you know, we couldn't really go. And so I think that's great. And I think that's something that really shows up here in this episode, because you can't fake being in Africa. You know, you just can't. And I think that that's something really, really interesting about how much Lucas was willing to pour the money into to make sure that it felt real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like, in a way, it's almost like a documentary, because you have no doubt watching this mm-hmm. episode that the tribal extras were probably from a tribe that they just were like, hey, we're doing this thing. Can you come out here and maybe walk around in the green belt and you know, just do a couple things and just show us your day-to-day life, and we'll just be back here shooting you on a camera. And that's the kind of stuff that's just absolute magic. And I think you nailed it. That's where you know, it's the John Hammond, we spare no expense of thing.
And I think that there's something just really interesting about you know, this is the thing to which made Lucas special in this. You know, he wanted to do this because his whole goal was to help kids understand history. And he put all the money he could and had into it. You know, it's the same thing that drove him with Star Wars, which is, I feel this desire to be able to have a morality tale told to kids in a way that will help drive that home, but help them have a great time doing it. And there, that's awesome, right? Like, that's exactly what you want, because that makes the media that you're creating means so much more than just being something that we're hoping we can make bukus of money off of, you know? I'm really interested to see, you know, just what your thought process is ratings wise for British East Africa, September 1909.
Ooh. That's a tough one, because I really like this episode a lot. I really do enjoy the younger Andy episodes quite a bit, because they do have a lot of things to say. I'm going to probably put this in the 3.5 to 3.75 category. I really enjoy the production value of it. I just love the acting. It's a wonderful kind of enchanting little story. Yeah, it has a little, you know, hiccups here and there, but overall, it's just kind of one of those, in a lot of ways, it kind of feels like a early version of episode one. You know, it's not afraid to kind of take its time and just kind of, you know, let the story flow and let, you know, young Indy slash Anakin kind of develop and find his own voice in the show. And I think that really, really helps it work well.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more in that sense. And to what it will really mirror. I mean, one of the things that you and I have talked about already is the way in which, you know, so much of this is the setup and gathering the team that's going to make the prequels. And, you know, you can see little bits and pieces of what is going to be the prequels in all of these episodes so far. And so I love it. And I think that it's a great episode in that sense. You know, I think that my thoughts on this one probably lead me into, it's going to be a 3 out of 5. You know, this is not my favorite episode so far, but it's not bad either. It's just kind of like, hey, yeah, this is better than an average, you know, thing, but it probably, there's probably some ways that you could have tweaked just a little bit here or there, and you could easily had this at a 4, I think, with just a little bit of tweaking. But, you know, otherwise, it's super fun to be able to talk through these episodes with you. And you know, if people wanted to catch up with you, Yancey, and see what else you've got going on, or maybe talk more young Indy, where would they find you?
Well, my Facebook account is just my name, Yancey Evans, so you can find me there. Very original. My handle on most social media platforms is Galandro1. That's named after Galandro from the Brian Daley Star Wars novels, one of the arch villains in the series. You can hit me up there. I'm on the Twitters, I'm on the Threads, I'm on most of your major social media platforms, and I have a blog. I am currently finishing up 2 articles, which I'm going to hopefully debut here in a few weeks, and that's called onesaga.wordpress.com. It's examining Star Wars, my other big love. That's pretty much my deal.
Well, you could find me all over the place under social media under the name MattRushing02. So if I'm on that platform, that's the name I'm under. You can also, of course, find me here on the network with other shows in the 602 Club, all of the main shows as we're talking about the movies and stuff that are coming out. We've got quite a bit that's going to be coming out this through the end of the year. I mean, gosh, Stranger Things is finally going to come to an end. There's a new Avatar movie coming out and more Glenn Powell, folks, so get ready. You can also find me doing a lot of great Star Trek talk here with Chris Jones as we're doing anniversary rewatches and such, so please check all of those out. Over on the Nerd Party Network, you'll find me doing Owlpost. That's a completed show with Drea Kaufman as we talked about every single chapter of the Harry Potter series. And then you'll find me with Aggressive Negotiations and John Mills as we're talking about Star Wars each and every week. But thank you so much for joining us. And y'all come back now you're here.